You're listening to the What's Happening in Stage Lighting podcast with David and JP. They'll be giving you tips, tricks, ideas, news on new gear, but most importantly, help you create great lighting.
Welcome to episode 3001 of What's Happening in Stage Lighting. In this episode, we introduce to you a new co-host, myself, JP. Today, we'll be taking a look at some of our videos, laser source fixtures, and AI that is becoming more prevalent in the stage lighting industry. Last but not least, we're taking a look at colors and how you should be using them. Let's dive in with myself, JP, and David Henry. All right, so welcome to what's the podcast called again? Oh no, what the podcast is called?
What's happening in stage lighting? And the question on everybody's mind at this moment is, who is this strange voice?
That might be me. You're talking about, which is JP.
Yeah, and by strange, that's a compliment. Of course, that's a compliment. So who in the world is JP, and where in the world have we been since we last put one of these silly things out, these podcasts, which was too long ago?
So from our side, I've actually been involved with Learn Stage Lighting for quite a few years, and we've actually had Crystal on here previously. So if you have missed any of the previous podcasts, go check it out with David and Crystal. But Crystal has gone on to new ventures, and I am replacing Crystal and going to take over that role here on the podcast. But I am a freelance lighting technician, sound engineer, everything that we do. And for David, I do some content creation, video editing, and I also do support on Learn Stage Lighting Labs. So that's my story.
That's right. That's JP, and he's going to help keep us on track and keep us, actually doing podcasts because, the podcast to me is interesting, and I know I've mentioned this to you before, that it's a love-hate relationship. Like, doing podcasts on your own, like just talking to a microphone, is actually insanely difficult. Like, it's really draining. It really is. So it helps to have co-hosts. And, obviously, I, David, here, if you're not familiar, we have, 7 or 8 YouTube channels that we regularly post things to. I basically come up with all those topics, and I just don't have space in my brain to come up with a podcast. But the podcast is the one thing that people reach out a lot, even though we're such terrible podcasters and we take breaks of, a year at a time throughout this. Because, the first time we podcasted, I think, you may not know this, but the first time I did a podcast, you might know this, I think my oldest son was 1 and he's now 10, right? And there were a lot of gaps in between. But even with all those gaps, people come up to us or email us all the time and are like, hey, I heard you on the podcast. I heard your podcast, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they appreciate it. And it's different than the video because you can, and different than an article because you can consume it, on the go, right? Which is a little bit different. So anyways, JP, I'm going to shut my mouth now and let you take the lead here so we can keep on going.
So, that's actually a cool backstory to start this off with, but I think we need to justify where we have been the last few months again for the 19th time, I think, or something like that. But, we've still done a lot of videos. And I think one of the videos I wanted to talk about is the design. A DJ and EDM lighting, as well as program and playback EDM lighting, which is something cool. And I think even for myself, I learned a lot out of that video. Oh. So have you got any, what was the reason behind doing that video just out of interest sake? What made you do that?
Well, at the end of the day, the way we typically break down lighting, as you know, in the Learn Stage Lighting universe is basically band, church, DJ, and theater. And the reason being is because they all have, there's commonalities between all of them, especially band, church, DJ, because they're all music, but they're all definitely different as well too, especially when you niche down into EDM, you know, not just DJ, but EDM in particular. Lighting for EDM is very specific and it's quite different from other types of lighting in a few ways. And I feel like it's one that we don't represent as much on the channel. We just haven't done as much with. So I said, hey, we need to do a little bit more here because I know there's interest. I know people are interested in it. I've done it and I've worked it and I know it well enough to teach it. It's just not one that we've done as much. So, you know, we put out some videos.
Okay, that's cool. And I know one video that made quite some uproar at the end of last year was the AI-powered lighting video we did with lighting going or being more computerized from the playback and programming side and controlling side of things. Do you think we'll see more than just the basic AI stuff in the near future? And what's your opinion on that?
Yeah. You know, I've heard rumblings. And what I do expect to see somehow, and AI is, I mean, AI to me is such a weird thing because, like, you know, if you ever listen to like a podcast or read things from like people that are like actual AI experts, they end up basically saying like a lot of things that people claim is AI isn't really AI. And so it's almost hard to define for us like common folk. but that being said, I do think just kind of like AI is working its way into everything else in every other industry, that it's going to be part of the tools that we already use. So like, you know, we did the AI show off, you know, we looked at Maestro DMX, we looked at Twinkly and just the sound reactive mode there, how they're the same, how they differ. But I would not be surprised to if we see AI elements being worked into lighting software or consoles that are already out there that we already use. That being said, you know, don't hold your breath. The reason I say don't hold your breath is just because, like, in terms of development pipeline and time in the lighting industry, like, we work with a lot of manufacturers and whatnot, and the lighting industry is really small, so you're probably going to see it coming in first to audio because audio is a lot bigger than lighting. And I think there has been some of that too, hasn't there? I'm honestly not sure.
I'm actually also not sure. I think I saw something recently, but I can't remember on what topic that was in the audio side on one of the Facebook groups.
Oh yeah, like here, I just Googled it quick just to see what came up. And Waves, actually this was a year ago, they have an AI-powered community plugin for audio. So I don't know exactly what it does.
There's some AI.
And so that's
it is making waves and starting to get a bit more. But I think, just as you said, I think it's going to be tools to make your life easier and more of a benefit rather than taking over what you do. Might change in the future, but that's my current opinion over it.
Exactly. Like, I think pretty much everybody in the world, I don't know, not everybody, but agrees that, you know, the robots that we're fighting off, you know, that are coming to kill us and take over our world over AI, you know, hopefully we're a long way off from that. And it's not that, but, you know, it's like something like ChatGPT or other AI, or even like DALL-E, if you're not familiar, that's the one that makes the images. And actually, I did have an idea, and I'm going to do that. If we could do this during podcast, I'm going to try to remember to do it, is just generate some sort of AI-based image for like the background of the photo that goes with the podcast, just to be goofy. Because it's like, you go ahead and you can build these things and generate things, you know, out of like ChatGPT. You can generate articles and written word and out of, you know, things like DALL-E, which is now, I guess I'm in the Microsoft Copilot designer, whatever. You know, it can make these images, but, you know, they're not there yet, right? Like the text they put out, the images, it's not something that you can just, you know, throw in a prompt and get something out that's 100% usable. And I think it's going to be that way for a while. I don't know. You know, because you know, the AI is still built on humans, right, who are imperfect. So all that to say, you know, I'm excited to see things enter our industry that make our life easier, that help us do creative things better. But, you know, the robots aren't taking over yet, right?
I think one other video I'm quite excited for, and I think a lot of people should take a look at that. Today is actually the 16th of February, and on the 18th, we've got a cool video coming out, which is how to use colors in stage lighting, just covering a bit more of color theory, how to mix colors and how to combine things. And that's also, once again, a video that I found for myself quite useful, where I know the basics of mixing colors, but going more in detail there and showing you cool little tricks of doing things on your color spectrum or your color wheel to just mix a color quickly. If you can't pull something out of your hat, there's actually method in the madness, as I said, in my thumbnail.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, it's a cool video too, just if you haven't checked it out yet, the first one and the second one, because, you know, a lot of people think, and this is where, you know, working at your craft, at lighting, whether you're a hobbyist, a professional, anything, like, it does matter, because I see this in the professional world. Like, sometimes people just think they could just pop up the color picker and select a color, right? And it's going to be the best it can be. But there is a nuance to how you use the tools, how you use the console, and how you command the lights, and have a bit of an understanding of how the lights work to get the best thing out of it that you can for the particular situation that you're in. And so that's what we talk about, especially in the second video. It's really application focused, you know, looking at different types of lights, how they mix color, and how to get the best colors out of them. And yeah, I'm excited about that too. Because I don't know if you know this, JP, but by far, like, number one video, I think overall, number one article on the main learnstagelighting.com website has pretty much always been the one about color. The number one video, technically, there's a couple above it, but, like, if you look at the top, we're looking at our top videos right now. Our video on color 101, from 5 minutes to better lighting, it's number five right now in terms of total views, but it's newer rather than videos 1 through 4. Right. So videos 1 through 4 are, like, from 2017, 2018. So they've got more time to collect views. You know, this one's from mid 2019. And so if you did some math and, like, averaged out the views per month, it's either the top one or, like, two. Not only that, but actually two below that is another video on color. So, like, from 2016, which is probably not the best, just because it's from 2016. We do a better job now. And so it's really popular, and it's just one of those things we need to refresh and update and provide a better video than we could in the past for you guys.
I'm really excited for those color videos to come out, and I'm excited to see how that can help people gain better knowledge on color, because I think having a rig with 100 fixtures in, or even more or less, doesn't really matter, but utilizing it incorrectly, whether that being with colors or intensities or specific moments, just you can have just what you want, but if you can't mix the right colors or know how to mix these colors, as you said, I actually see this happen on a daily basis, where people will just open the color picker and just choose, oh, I like this color, and they'll use that color, and then I'm like, there's actually a theory behind this. If you haven't, as David said, if you haven't checked it out, it's coming out on the February 18th, this month, 2024. And then we'll have the next one right after that. So please take a look at them and let us know what you think about it. And let us know if you maybe want a shorter version of that, and we can try and snip that up and post a little short or something like that. So let us know. And we can do that. So on to the next thing, which I think is quite interesting to me, because I've had a discussion with, I'm based in South Africa, if you haven't found out with my accent yet, but I've spoken to our suppliers, some rental companies, And even myself, I believe the same. I think 2024 is going to be a repeat of 2019, except COVID. 2019 was a really good year for most companies out there. And I think it's going to be crazy, crazy busy. I can already see it taking place with friends and companies now buying gear in January and February, which most people don't. So what is your prediction being in, I think, a larger market or a larger area where you can keep your eye on? What's your prediction for this year in the industry?
Interesting. So I'm a little unsure of what's going to happen economically. Just, you know, conversations that I've had. I mean, it's weird because at least here in the US, like, people are like, okay, are we going to have a recession? Or are we not having a recession? You know, did we have a recession, you know, last year? And I don't think anybody knows. Cause I was talking to somebody who's actually, somebody who's in the industry, but whose wife is outside the industry, in the software business. And her impression was that, you know, this year right now was like crazy slow. Okay. Like no leads, you know, no prospects for her business, which is very odd. Right. And so I've heard that, and I honestly don't know, I have no idea. Like, I want it to be a good year, but I really don't know.
I think we all want it to be a good year.
Oh, for
so,
sure.
I'm gonna hold thumbs that I'm right, and I think it's gonna be a really good year. So let's hope for that. Yeah. So let's see what 2024 holds in for all of us. I hope it's gonna be a great year. Yeah. I think that's it from our side. Anything still from your side, David?
Well, did you want to talk about gear, new gear, gear impressions, stuff we reviewed, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, that's actually true. I forgot about that part.
Okay. So, yeah. So, a few months ago, obviously, while he pulls up the gear page for us, we went to the LDI conference here in the U.S., not JP, because he's not in the U.S., but Wesley and I. And that's a lighting trade show for professional lighting, essentially, that has most of the manufacturers there. And it's a really good time. And, you know, we had some impressions there. I think my biggest impression from LDI this year was just that anyone that has strobes now put frost in them in front of the LEDs. Like I don't know if the factories overseas are driving this or what, but it's like you have two direct competitors of each other. For example, Chauvet and ADJ. And they both literally came out with the same thing. And they're both good companies. We're dealers for them both over at Learn Stage Lighting Gear. And we'd love to help you with anything you need from both. But they literally both like had strobes, and the strobes had frost. Now, Chauvet's has one with an electric frost now, where you can turn it on and off through DMX, and it's variable. And that's really stinking cool. But regardless, that was one trend. What else did we see? At LDI, honestly, like, it's one of those things where the industry's not in a rut, but, like, technology-wise, it's like, okay, you have new moving lights, you have LEDs that get more efficient, that get brighter, all that jazz. In terms of groundbreaking things, there's not been a ton in that world. But what have we gone over lately over on Learn Stage Lighting Gear?
I think a cool fixture that we spoke about was the Megalight Deco Vintage Scoop, which I liked a lot. And that's one fixture I like. And then obviously all the LED walls we do now. We've just recently reviewed the Visera LED wall. Which is, it's replaced the optic wall, and it's really a step up from the optic wall. It looks great. It's easy to use, and at a great price. I obviously haven't seen them in person. David's got a few there behind him. I can see on Zoom now. But no, what's your opinion over the Visera wall?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, we recently put up the review, and I've actually had this wall since November, I think, and we've used it a bunch. We've set it up a bunch of different ways, done a trade show with it, and it's an incredible wall. Like a lot of times, if people are looking at the DVS walls, they're often comparing it. There's kind of two ways that people compare it. And the first is, you know, they'll compare it to, there's a couple lowballer companies in the industry. We're not going to mention them by name, but when you search for like LED wall packages, there's a few that are just always the cheapest and do a ton of advertising. In fact, some of them I believe are connected corporately to each other, even though they look like competitors online, and they're kind of the cheapest of the cheap stuff. And Visra is not a lot more expensive than those walls, but in terms of how easy it is to make it look good on camera, how easy it is to assemble with the way they've designed the handles and the magnetic latching system, the quality of the components, the warranty on them, which is just nuts that they do a 5-year, it just blows those out of the water, and cost-wise, it's not a lot more. And then if you compare it to, a lot of times people compare it to the 80J walls or the Chavez walls, and they just hit the same or better quality as those other companies or Blizzard, but they just knocked the price out of the park in the warranty. And so we have so much good to say about them, and it's not like we could definitely make more profit, more percentage on selling other people's walls, but we'd rather get you the right thing. And those Visra walls are just, they're really great.
Buy your second LED wall first.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's Stefan Svard from Thor. And he's been in the LED game quite a while and kind of runs a small company importing walls and whatnot. And it's so true, because people get tempted to cheap out and you pretty much always regret it, if not right away, in the future. Like there was a church local to me last year that I know that bought a wall from one of these companies that advertises a lot online and is cheap. And they, out of the box, had a lot of trouble with it and then continued to have trouble with it constantly. Whereas when we get DVS walls for people or for ourselves, it's like they're perfect out of the box. And then their secret really to offering a 5-year warranty is the fact that they make a really reliable product, so they don't have to deal with warranty claims because it's a really quality product. And so, you know, that's their big secret, and it's great. It's been great for us. It's been great for customers. They're really happy with it because LED walls, in a sense, are somewhat fragile across the board. But these ones are just really well constructed, look good on video, kind of tick all the boxes without being a really high-end wall, because they can get really expensive. and so we feel like it's like the 80-20 principle. It's the best value out there in terms of walls.
So I've got a question that I actually got recently about LED walls, which I think a lot of people will have the same question probably, but if you have a 1 meter by 500 panel and you've got a 500 by 500 panel, let's say you've got Visra panels, can you use the 500 by 500 as well as the 1 meter by 500 panel on the same controller?
Oh yeah, you can mix in the same controller. You can literally mix completely different panels, especially with the new controllers, the Coax ones. They're a little better. But even on the old series that use the Nova LCT software, you can mix panels from brands and stuff all day long. It's fine. Where you might run into things is whether the panels latch together. So I know DVS, and you can always check this with us. If you get two panels from the same line, like two Visras, you get the square ones and the rectangle ones. Typically you can go together vertically, but not horizontally because the sizing's different. So you can go up and down, but not side to side. With other brands, it may be different. It just kind of depends. But yeah, you can totally mix and match completely different walls on the same controller. You just have to be careful with the scaling, if they're different pixel pitches, because it's going to scale the images differently to the eye because the pixel pitches are different. Most often, that's why people run them on different processors, But if you're using a program like Resolume or MatMap or something to do your pixel mapping, it can accommodate for that and run it all within one processor if necessary.
There was quite a few new fixtures launched at LDI. One of them was one I enjoyed, which is the Martin 1.
Yes.
But one I want to talk about, which is something that I see quite often in the industry now, is laser-based fixtures. And Ayrton actually launched one, I think, at LDI, which is also a laser source fixture. Why do you think we are moving over to a laser source rather than LED? And do you think it's better than LED? Do you think it's something that will be more popular in the near future? Do you see any benefits?
Yes. So here's what laser sources do: beams really well. They do tight beams well. And the other thing they do is they get colors that are as bright, like deep saturated colors that are in equal brightness to the white that they put out, which is a bit unique. And so the laser world's interesting, especially with the United States, right? Because as you probably know, if you have a laser, like a regular, you know, laser, like we get from X-Laser, the Skyriders, or the laser cubes, you have to have what's called a variance to use it safely in the US. And for good reason, because if you point in somebody's eyes or in a camera, you fry them, right? It's dangerous. And so there's a reason why. But then if you go buy a laser video projector, you don't have to do any of that stuff. No variance, no paperwork. You just use it, right? And it has a laser source. When lasers started coming into moving lights, I think the first commercially available one here in the U.S. at least was the Skylos from Clay Packy, right? Or the Stylos. Then they came out with the Sky, but the Xy, XTYLOS, was the first. And you had to have that laser variance in order to operate. But could you also stare at it? Yeah, you could, and it wasn't going to damage anything because they've diffused the laser enough, just like a video projector. And so, long story short, lasers make great beam fixtures. They make really good beam fixtures. They're able to color mix typically, which is awesome because in beam fixtures, that's very difficult to do with a traditional source, especially LEDs, because the size of the source gets a lot bigger than a traditional arc lamp. And so laser source fixtures are really cool. And now that somehow the manufacturers have figured out some sort of a way to get around the variancing process to say, you know what, these are safe. They're not putting out the type of wattage through their beam that is in milliwatts measured that requires you to have a variance. And so, you know, I saw recently that Clay Packy has one, an NV variant of their model. That means no variance. Alation has a fixture called the Proteus Odeon, I believe. That is a, what do they call it? An excited phosphor source, which may or may not be a laser. We're not going to say either way as Alation dealers, but it may or may not be a laser, but they're using it in such a way that it doesn't have to be varianced. And so I definitely see this for beam fixtures being the future. Will it work its way into spots and washes? I don't know. I really don't know. I think right now it's cost prohibitive to do that. That it's just cheaper to do an LED and you get the same results. But at the same time, video projectors are kind of like a spot fixture. You know, they're similar in a lot of ways. And they've pretty much moved over to all lasers for people buying new video projectors. So who knows, right? What do you think?
I don't know. I personally haven't had any experience with those fixtures. I don't think we have any available here locally. I've done some research on videos, and it's very cool. I've got a love-hate relationship with lasers in general. I don't like them personally because they are really a pain to operate if you try and operate them with lighting software.
X-Laser's Mercury system makes it work like a moving light, and it is great.
So I've got that whole love-hate on it currently, but I think if I get an opportunity to use it and see what it's capable of personally, then I think I'd grow fond of it. I know they are crazy bright and able, as you say, able to create very tight beams. So who knows? Maybe I get the opportunity in the future to use one and then I will revert back.
Anything else we're going to hit today, or are we going to party on out of here?
I think it's time to go make some more coffee, so we need to party out. So yeah, thank you very much. It was cool to have a quick chat again and catch up. And I hope to see you guys next week again. I don't know how we're going to schedule this podcast yet and how many episodes and stuff we are going to do. Maybe we'll do one a week, one a month. We don't know yet. We'll figure that out and then we'll take it from there. So thanks again, David. And then I'll see you on the next one.
Thanks, JP. See ya.
Thank you for listening to the What's Happening in Stage Lighting podcast. If you're interested in purchasing any gear, please visit our stage lighting store at learnstagelightinggear.com. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please listen to our other episodes on Apple, Spotify, or Google podcast platforms. Don't forget to grab our free beginner's guide to stage lighting on learnstagelighting.com. Learn Stage Lighting, helping you create great lighting.